Thank you for tuning in to the Emerge Church Tallahassee podcast. We exist to help people follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their lives. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you can be updated anytime we add new content. Now let's check out the message from Sunday. It's good. It's good to be in church, am I right? I'm happy to be here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And 10. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. I remember back in the day, before they put the words on the screen, we used to all bring our Bibles to church, and it was such a cool sound to hear whenever they would announce the scripture reference. Everyone would be turning in their pages, and it kind of, you know, it changed the atmosphere in the room. And now you say that, no one's doing anything. They're scrolling on the phone to find it, or they're just going to follow on the screen. Sometimes I wish we'd go back to the old school Bible. I thought I'd get a better response. It ain't working, Wade. It ain't working. All right. 2 Corinthians 1. Some of y'all are like, no, let's not. All right. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, it says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead." And if that wasn't good enough, watch this next verse. "And he did," say he did. "He did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." That's been in your Bible all along. That has been in there all along, and today these verses are just jumping off of the page onto you, and it's like, I've been trying to find you for a while. Can anybody relate? Been trying to find you for a while. Today, I want to speak a message entitled, "It's Beyond Me." You ever said that before? When you were trying to describe what was going on, what was happening to you, and you're like, I don't even know, it's beyond me. That's what I want to talk about today. Father, thank you that you are here, you're moving. I pray, Lord, that this message isn't just a talk. It's not just a sermon, but this is something that reaches into our soul and ministers to us. So Lord, help me today to just say it how I heard it, to represent you to all your people here, to help them to see it's beyond me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, last week did a message entitled Dealing with Disappointment. If you haven't heard that message yet, you need to go back and you need to hear that message because I think it's going to help you with some things in your life. Come on, anybody in here ever dealt with some disappointment? Anybody dealing with some now? Okay, thank you for your honesty. So last week we said a couple of things. When you're dealing with disappointment, these are your options. You can dwell on it. And if you dwell on it, I promise you, you're going to spiral down. If you dwell on it. Come on, anybody got experience with that? Like, if you keep dwelling on it, you're going down. Or you can diagnose it. You can get all the research, find out everything you want about it, try to fix it like I was trying to fix my truck. I was watching YouTube videos on it. I was reading forums on it. I was doing everything, and I would fix one thing, and another thing would break. And that seems to be what happens to us when we try to diagnose the things that disappoint us in our life. The more we try to diagnose it, the more we figure it out, the deeper down the rabbit hole we go. Anybody ever been there before? Or you can delight in the Lord. And I know that just sounds too happy to work. But last week we talked about delighting in the Lord from the aspect of spiritual warfare. Because spiritual warfare isn't just showing the devil your guns. It's crying out to God who has the big guns. It's calling on the one who can rescue you. Let me say it like this. We're calling on the one that can set a table in the presence of your enemies. It's one thing to draw a gun and scare them. It's another thing to put a table in the middle of the presence of your enemies and have peace. That's the kind of God we serve. That you can be in the middle of something and still have peace. And that's why when I say delight yourself in the Lord, I can still enjoy the presence of God, even though disappointments are happening around me, even though disappointments are happening inside of me, because the Prince of Peace is present. And if he is present, then it doesn't matter what kind of warfare is going around, there is peace. It doesn't matter what kind of darkness is all around me, there is light. Because he is there. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So the big lesson that we get from this is truly life-changing, because we want to like be aggressive and fight and do all these things when really the battle belongs to the Lord. Come on, we knew that, right? But why do we act like and live like we've got to fight it all out? See, we're using worldly weapons to fight a spiritual battle. It's amazing how we will fight people for things that they can't even do for us. Only God can do it. Are you tracking this today? Because some of us, we're at odds with some things that we don't even need to be at odds with. Because our battle, we think it's them, we think it's that, but actually the battle is, am I still going to delight in the Lord even though this and that is happening? That's the real battle. I believe there's a revelation that God wants us to get through all of this. And I want to talk a little bit about this today. And I'll ask you this question. Have you ever had some crazy circumstances going on that you just can't describe it? You know what I'm talking about? That was a bit much, so it is real. And then people will ask you, because they can tell. Like we try to act like they can't tell, but they can tell. And they'll come up to you and ask you if everything is okay. Like what's going on? And you don't even know how to answer that. Because you know if you say too much, then they're going to try to fix it for you. And they can't. You know what I'm saying? Like they can't fix it for you. And so you're very careful. But they ask all the questions. And if it's one thing for them to ask the questions, I think it's a whole nother thing whenever we start asking the questions. You know? Like, why did this happen? God, what are you trying to show me? Let's get spiritual on it. What are you trying to show me in this season? Like, just so you didn't know, if you want to be really spiritual about something going on, just add in this season at the end of whatever the question is. Am I right? Let's get spiritual. Why is this happening to me, Lord, in this season? See, it just sounds better. Why am I under spiritual attack? And listen, I'm not firing shots at anybody. I'm just telling you, these are the thoughts that go through our minds. Here's one. Maybe I'm in a pruning season. You ever said that before? Yeah, me too. No. This is my favorite one. I'm in a transition season. And when you talk to people about it, you know, to themselves, they're saying, man, you've been in that transition season for like 6 years now. This is what we're really doing. I'll tell you this. This is what we're really trying to do. I'm just trying to make sense of it, man. Like, can we give all the spiritual talk a break for a second and just say, I'm just trying to make sense of it all. And usually we can't. And so the statement that we tend to make is, it's beyond me. Also known as, I can't figure it out. Also known as, I don't know what to do. It's just beyond me. And that statement, it almost feels like a surrender statement. Am I right? Like, it's almost like I got to be careful how I say that, because it can sound like defeat. And I'm like strong in the Lord. And devil, you're not taking me out. And so for me to say it's beyond me, it kind of puts me in a place of like some vulnerability that I'm not vulnerable. I'm strong. Anybody strong in the house today? Amen. Yeah. And what I find is that the circumstances, they have a way of getting you to say things that you don't normally say. And your circumstances have a way to speak to you in ways that you don't like to hear. Did that make sense? Like, you ever been pushed by somebody before? Like, just pushed. And they keep going, and you just want them to stop, and they keep going. And you feel the need to say something. And it didn't quite come out the way that you wanted it to come out. Is that a little too aggressive for spring break? Like, preacher, give me a break. Yeah. Oh, man. I think there's a word, and it's called frustrating. Where this is happening is frustrating because you feel like you try everything and nothing works. Anybody there? And the frustration gets so great, and like we talked about last week, that disappointment's just hitting you hard, and it feels like you hit a wall. I want to really paint a good picture of this so that you can relate, and I want to help you with it. And you feel like you hit a wall, and it's like, I just want it all to go away. I want all of this to be resolved, and it just feels like it doesn't go away. Does that sound hopeless? Because that's what it feels like sometimes. And then there's a line that comes out that says, I have reached my limit. Yeah. And really what we're saying is, I can't take anymore. Okay. Now, I wanted to set that scene for you to introduce you to the scripture here today in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, because Paul is on a missionary journey to bring the gospel to new cities, and that's where he's at. But it's not just some emotional and relational situations. It's real life situations where they're about to die. Like, this is not just, you know, someone's talking about me behind my back, or, you know, they don't like my kid. This is one of those we're about to die situations because we're trying to bring the gospel to all these places. And on the way, we're experiencing shipwreck. We're experiencing snake bite. They're trying to stone us. They're trying to kill us. Like, all of these things is happening to Paul. And he's talking about all the hardships that they face in verse 8 and 9 when he says, we were crushed and overwhelmed, watch this, beyond our ability to endure. It was beyond their ability to endure. And we thought we would not live through it. In fact, we expected to die. The expectation, we're talking about a faith preacher who believes all things is possible, who expects God to do miracles, who believes that God can do it. It's in the place to where it's like, oh, all that's gone. All I can expect now is we're going to die. And I can only imagine all the people on this journey with Paul looking at him like, you the preacher, what's going to happen? Preach something, bro. Can you imagine? What do you say? Well, I think we're all going to die. This is where their expectation has gone to. And basically what he's saying is this, that they went through so much that it was beyond him. What was going to happen. It was beyond him, the explanation. It was beyond him. And Paul is just trying to do what God called him to do. He's just trying to be the man he's supposed to be. And he faces some really incredibly tough circumstances on the way. And it's so easy for us just to assume that because Paul is this anointed instrument, is how it's described earlier in the book of Acts. He will be my instrument. Because he's this anointed instrument, that nothing bad is going to happen to him, and that he's going to advance the kingdom. He's going to do all these great things, and nothing is going to happen to him. And yet we read, something's happening, and it's bad. Now, I want you to imagine the chatter. The chatter would be, oh, something must be going on in Paul's life. Maybe the Lord is trying to teach him a lesson through this, because surely he's got some stuff going on, you know, that God is trying to correct in his life. People do that. Surely the Lord is trying to do this. Surely the Lord is trying to do that and all these different things. And Paul is like, listen, I'm just trying to do what God called me to do. I'm just trying to be the man I'm supposed to be. I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord. I'm just trying to take the next step that God told me to take. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that in your own life, just trying to be the person God wants you to be, take the step that you know that you're supposed to take. Sometimes there are some circumstances that arise that you didn't know were going to arise. And it's like, where is this stress coming from? I'm not a stressed out person, but I'm stressed out. Where's this going on? What, my kids are always great. Why? What? I'll go back. Am I right? They thought they would die. Watch this. Their expectation became so affected by their circumstances. Like what they were expecting now was no longer what God had for them. It was based off of the circumstances that was happening to them. In other words, they were not wearing the shirt that said the best is yet to come. They were wearing a shirt that said the worst is here. Another guy had a shirt on, and on the back of it, it said, it's over. Remember the children of Israel back in the Old Testament? I love to refer back to the Old Testament because I believe God gave us the Old Testament to teach us a lot of lessons. A whole lot of lessons. Can I just go a little Bible school on you? The biggest point of the Old Testament is to help you to realize how much you need Jesus. If you read the Old Testament and all you get is history and stories out of it, you're missing the point. The whole point is to help you to realize we need Jesus. Because without him, it is wild. Don't believe me? Read past Exodus. Get into Leviticus. Get into Numbers. And you start reading that. You're like, why is this in the Bible? Don't touch that. What were these people doing? I'm going to tell you what those people were doing. Life without Jesus. And just reading the book of Leviticus, I know it's boring as could be, but just reading the book of Leviticus is like, where you at, Jesus? Come now. Because this is hard, this is heavy. And the children of Israel, they had this access to God that was absolutely incredible. And God gave them a promise. He gave them the promised land. He says, listen, I'm going to remove you from slavery. You're held hostage in Egypt. I'm going to lead you out of this. I'm going to take you to the promised land. And yet they struggled to get beyond the wilderness. And it didn't change the promise. Even though there were circumstances in the wilderness, the promise remained. But some of them did not, because the circumstances they were walking through became so big in their life that they couldn't see where God was taking them. All they can see is where they're at right now. And this is what they said. I want you to hear this. God, did you bring us out here to die? And it reminds me of Paul, because they expect it to die. They're not in the wilderness, they're on the water. They're heading to the next place and they're going through shipwreck and they're like, this is how we go. I'm going to drown. That's how I'm going to die. That's what I expect to happen. The children of Israel are in the same place. God, did you bring us out here to die? And then they said something like this. It would be better to go back to Egypt as slaves than struggle in the wilderness on the way to the promise. That's what they were saying. I would rather go back to my old life, living the way I used to live with no hope, trying to figure this out, because that was a lot easier than living my life on the way to the promise of God, because this is hard. Because these circumstances aren't easy. And so I would just rather go back. And y'all, think of this. 4 years ago today, this weekend I should say, 4 years ago this weekend was the first time Emerge Church ever did an online service. And you know why? Because they shut everything down. And during that whole stretch, this is what everyone was saying. I just want everything to go back to normal. Well, it depends on what normal is. But your circumstances sometimes has a way to make you think that what used to be is better than what will be. Because normal has become predictable. And if I can predict it, I can manage it. And if I can manage it, I can figure out how to live in it. But there's something in me that wants more than just normal, and I'm caught between the two, and in the middle of the two of these things called circumstances, and I don't like them. Anybody here? So just like your circumstances has been speaking to you, today the Spirit of God has something to say to you. Because it may seem like you've reached your limitation. But I have learned that your limitation is actually God's launching pad. That's what I have learned. That's not preacher talk. That's what I have learned. That's what I have seen over and over and over in my life. And I know that people get frustrated. And I know that we get disappointed. And I know that you have reached your limit. But you don't even realize where God has you right now. Because all you can read is the circumstance. You can't even see where the Spirit of God is actually taking you. And it feels vulnerable because you can't control it. Now, sometimes when I read through Scripture, I look at some of these characters and I try to predict them a little bit. Their personalities, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's pick on Peter for a second. We all just get this impression, you know, he's a commercial fisherman. He probably had a mouth on him. Oh, don't get too excited. Some of us in here, you repent daily. I think Peter may have been that guy too. Peter just comes across as the guy that's always like, pick me first. I'll do it. Like the whole walking on water thing, that didn't even need to be done. There was no reason for that. That was all Peter. But he did it. Got himself in a little mess doing it, but he did it. Needed Jesus' help, but he did it. But so he comes across like that. Paul, on the other hand, to me, he comes across as the guy who is in control. Because how else can a guy go to prison and write like most of the New Testament from prison? Like he was working remote before it was even cool. He was doing it, man. And it blows my mind. Like Paul just seems like he was in control. And it makes me wonder, was he a control freak? It does. Like I get it. He's in the Bible. But y'all do know these people in the Bible were not perfect. Like, why is it we'll pick on Peter, but we leave Paul alone? Seriously. In all my years of doing this, everybody, they pick on Peter, but Paul is like a colossal apostle. The brother had some problems. He sent some people off that he didn't need to send off and then call them back later. Hey, I need your help. I'm telling you, Paul had some issues. And I just kind of get this feeling he may have had a little control issue. And so for him to be in a vulnerable situation where he's like, we expect to die. And that's the only thing I can come up with because this is all I can control. I'm going to control how I die. This is what I feel like is going on. I believe there's something God wants to show us through this today. That's beyond you. It's beyond you. You've been saying it. It's beyond me. Your circumstances have been saying it. And it sounds limiting. But today, I'm going to flip it. I'm going to flip the script. Because what the Holy Spirit is actually saying is the same thing. That it's beyond you. And we don't know how to take that. Because we think that God is in the business of making us the total package. And if God made you the total package, here's what you need to know. You wouldn't need him. And why would he do that? It would go to our heads, y'all. It would. Like, I know us well enough. I know many of you in here. It would go to your head. And you know me well enough. It would go to my head, too. We would just act like we got it all figured out. Am I right? And so the Lord leaves us with some vulnerability. And it doesn't seem like a wise plan unless you're God. Unless you're God. When I think about the children of Israel, when they were struggling in the wilderness, they wanted the promised land, but it was beyond them. And there was a lot that was happening in the wilderness to get some things out of them so that they can get into the promised land. See, it's not just what God can get you into, it's what God can get out of you. Can I get an amen? Y'all want to leave that alone? Save it for 2 weeks. And I think God is saying, it's beyond you. back to the verse, 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 10, where he said we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. In fact, we thought we would never live through it. We expected to die, but as a result, that's a key line in the scripture. As a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And then he goes through, he did rescue us from mortal danger. He will rescue us again, and he will continue to rescue us. He got some revelation from this, y'all. He saw God in a whole different light. And I want to share three things today that I believe God may be trying to show you right now. There's three things I think God's trying to show us right now, regardless of the circumstances that you may be walking through. And the first one is this, it's a reality check. A reality check. And sometimes we try to act like everything's good and nothing's bad because I'm talking by faith. But can I tell you, sometimes it's just bad. And that doesn't make you negative. That just makes you real. Am I right? I know I don't want us walking around complaining down in the dumps all the time, but sometimes you got to look at it and just say, that's bad. You ever got invited to a restaurant with a friend before and you were eating, and they were eating, they were like, oh, it's so good. And you're just sitting there like. And they're like, how you like it? You're like, oh, it's good. It's great, man. Yeah, we'll have to bring the kids. Yeah, oh, you got to try this. And you're thinking, I am not coming back here ever again. And when you're in front of them, that's how you talk. But then you leave and somebody asks you, hey, how was that new restaurant? It's like, dude, that's a dump. I just will never, ever go back. And sometimes that's how we live. When we're in the moment, when we're in the right setting, man, we're all like, bless the Lord, oh my soul. But as soon as we say amen and we get in the parking lot, it's not bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's like other words that we got to repent of later. Right? There's a reality check, though. And Paul said, I learned something. In other words, he said, I had a reality check. And the reality check that he had was this. It's beyond me. I know it sounds like our complaint, but that was actually the reality check that he said. He said it was beyond our limitations. And we all know Paul was pretty good. Am I right? He is really, really good. And for him to say it's beyond me, everybody on the boat is like, uh-oh, we all going to die. If Paul's going to die, I'm going to die. Because he's got to be the one that God would spare. Not me, because I said stuff in the parking lot at church one time. This is what's happening. Paul reached his limitation. He reached the limit of his abilities, the limits of his endurance, the limit of his emotions, the limit of his hope. That's where he was. It's when the person who is so strong no longer has strength. And it's not even burnout. It's like past burnout. You know what I'm saying? We passed burnout like miles ago. Like burnout, I was managing that. I could like hide that and make you think I had the joy of the Lord. But I'm way past the burnout stage. I'm burnt to a crisp. Crispy. It's a reality check that God will lead you to. Because who you're supposed to be is actually beyond you. I know, that just doesn't fit a modern day narrative of self-help and self-motivation. I know. But God didn't call me to preach out of a book from Barnes & Noble. He called me to preach the Bible. And there are some truths in the Bible that so collide with some sayings of our culture that we buy into because it feels so good. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy on the inside for a moment. But when you get in the thick of it, it ain't warm and fuzzy anymore. It is cold and hard. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. And Paul is having a reality check in his life. And it's at this moment where he realized what God has asked him to accomplish is beyond him. Because God called him to go to these nations, and now he can't even get to the nations he's called to. And I know in our faith, we're like, we're God, God's, he will provide. I know. But when you're in the circumstance, it's like, God, where are you at? And that's where Paul is. And here's something you need to know. The promised land that you're pursuing in your life, it's not in you. It's beyond you. Until we get beyond ourselves, we will never walk into the promise of God. And that is a reality check, because we believe that God came to make us better. Make me a better leader, make me a better person, make me a better husband, make me a better dad, make me a better employee, make me a better boss, make me better, better, better. And I want you to know that God didn't come to make you better. He came to give you new life. And as we're heading into Easter, it's important that we have this revelation, because if we don't, we will always assume that God is just trying to make everything better. God, make it better. God, make it better. And when he doesn't, we get disappointed in him. And we think it's his problem when actually it's not. Because we only know him as somebody that makes it better instead of someone that makes it new. Because when you understand that God has come to make it new, it may mean something's got to go. Or it may mean something has to die. Or it may mean you need to change. That's a reality check, am I right? Like, that's not popular preaching. It would be better just to say, God's going to make it better for you. Just keep trying. Keep going. We believe in you. And all those things are good for your encouragement, but it doesn't mean it's going to change us. So Paul has a reality check, and I believe some of the circumstances we're walking through is a reality check. Here's the next thing. Another thing I believe God is trying to show us. Rely on me. Rely on me. This was the lesson from that season for Paul. If you were asking him, hey, that season you went through, what did you get out of it? He would say, rely on God. And that would sound so normal to us. It'd be like, oh, let me write that down. That's a good word. My word for the years, rely. And we do that sometimes to psych ourselves up. Come on. Y'all hearing that? We psych ourselves up thinking that as long as I'm psyched up, I'm not going to deal with these kinds of things. When you're in the middle of it, and it's like, God, what are you trying to show me? And God's like, hey, just rely on me. And one of the things I know about us is this, is that we rely on ourselves so much because we're strong, because we're smart, because we've gained some life experience that got us to where we are. We're talented. We're trained. I can go down the list of all these things that we are, but sometimes the circumstance has a way. I'm not just helping you see who you are. It shows you who you are not. And that's where the problem is. Because our strength sometimes, it kind of deceives us into thinking that I can do anything. Until you run into that thing. And when you run into that thing, that's where you have this revelation of, uh-oh, I ain't that good. But don't tell no one. Fake it till you make it. Bless the Lord. Ah, glory. Everybody's like, calm down, man. That's a little too much. Nah, it's the reality check. And it brings you to the place of, God, this is beyond my ability. This one, this is beyond me. I ain't never done this before. And that's the moment where we pray a prayer like this. God, I need you. How powerful is that prayer? God, I need you. Circumstances that we face, they say things to us. Oh, you're talented, but you're not that talented. You're strong, but you're not that strong. Oh, you're smart. You're very smart, but you're not that smart. And those are the things that put us in the place where we have to rely on God wholeheartedly. We have to rely on him. And Paul had to rely on God wholeheartedly. Here's why. Because his life depended on it. This wasn't his career. This was, I'm going to die. And he had to rely on God wholeheartedly. And I will say this, your future is dependent upon who you rely on. And if you're relying on yourself, you have to know that you, yourself, is limited. It's limited. That group of people that has been a source of encouragement for you, and thank God for them, they are limited. They have limitations because they can't make it go away, and they can't always make it better. They may make you feel better in the middle of it, but they can't make it better. And what is God trying to show us in the middle of all that? He's trying to help you to see it's beyond you. It's way beyond you. And it puts a square in the place of God, I need you. And Paul gives us a hint of this later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talks about the thorn that he had in his flesh. And he said, I asked God to take it away and it never went away. I asked God to take this thing from me and it didn't go anywhere. I asked God to make my situation better. I asked God to make it go away. I asked God to never let me feel like this again. And it never, ever went away. But God gave him the grace he needed for the circumstance he was in. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength works perfect in your. That goes against how we're wired. Because our mind's like this. If I take my strength and I add God's strength to it, we can overcome anything. Because I'm strong and God's strong and together, we're strong together. And because we're strong together, we'll take anything out. And God's trying to help you see, yeah, you're strong. But you're so strong being you. But you ain't got strong being what I want you to be yet. Sometimes our strength gets in the way of his. That's what I'm saying. Because our strength is so about me. And who I am and who I need to be is self-preserving. And I think that's why we get disappointed so much. Because we think I got to be strong for the Lord. But really we got to be strong in the Lord. And because we're so busy trying to be strong for the Lord, we face things that are bigger than us. And it's kind of like, oh, I'm not strong enough for you, so I'm a detour. I'm a step away. I'm going to put a boundary. I'm a quit. It's not my season. But he didn't need your strength. Can I say this? God didn't call you because of your strength. He didn't put you in that family because of your strength. He didn't put you in that situation because of your strength. He put you there because of his. And Paul had this revelation, I got to rely on God. I want to say this to you today. God has perfect strength for where you are. He has perfect strength for right exactly where you are right now. He has perfect strength for you, but we won't be able to walk in that strength until we get beyond me. We're so used to being me that we can't be what he said, who he created us to be. So we're stuck. And that's why we're frustrated. So he had a reality check. He had to rely on God. And I thought it was interesting how he says this in verse 9. We stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God. That's great. But then he throws this in there. Who raises the dead? Like the relying on God part, Paul, that's good. That's a good sermon. That'll preach. But then he added that extra little, like 20 minutes on the back end of the sermon. I'm not going to do that today. I'm thinking about it, but I'm not. He says, the God who raises the dead. And I think the third thing God wants to show you is resurrection. He says, rely on God who raises the dead. One moment, he thought he was going to die. And the next moment, he's saying, God will raise the dead. It's like, Paul, you all right? Let's get you checked. you need to see someone. You ever looked at yourself in the mirror and said, I probably need to see someone? You ever saw someone and said, they need to see someone? Don't look at your neighbor right now. One moment, he thought he would die. And the next moment, he says, God's raising the dead. It reminds me of what Paul wrote, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Watch this, my favorite part of the verse. And the life which I now live, thought it was over, y'all. He expected to die. But there's some revelation that's coming from this where he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this life that I'm living here on this earth with all these circumstances, with all these situations, with all these crazy people, including me, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I need you to see that this wasn't an intellectual formulation of what God was doing, but this was a spiritual revelation. And this was the life that he knew that God had for him, was to lay down who he was so he can be who God wanted him to be. He got the revelation. It's beyond me. And it wasn't the circumstances that was preaching it to him. It was the Spirit of God all along through the circumstance. It's like the circumstance was the sermon illustration to get you to see how much you really, really, really needed God. You know what I think when I even hear myself saying that? Man, we stubborn. Like, come on, God, there's an easier way to do this. And that's what we would think. But watch this. We're so good at being me. It's not so easily undone. I'll give you a preference. It's just the way I am. It's the way I've always been. It's how I've been trained to be. That's how you gotta be. Go through what I went through. That's how you gotta be. And you're not even going through that anymore. That was a long time ago. But you're still using methods that you used then to will your way through something. And now you're in a new place and you're trying to use those same old ways and they're not working. Well, it worked for me then. It'll work now. Well, when I was being raised, this is what worked on me and I'm gonna use it on my own kids. Oh, that's how they preached it back then. That's how we're going to preach it now. What I'm trying to get us to see is how loyal we are to ourselves and how much we want God to come and bless me and who I've always been. And wandering around in our wilderness, wondering when am I going to get in the promised land. And here's when they got in the promised land, when they got all of Egypt out of them. Go read the story, because there was a whole entire generation that did not even get to go. And there was a circumcision that took place, a cutting away, if you will, before they were ever able to advance into the promised land. In fact, Moses, the leader, wasn't even able to go into the promised land because he was so good at being who he had always been, with his frustration hitting a rock twice instead of just speaking to it. God never asked him to do that, but that's how he was. That's how I do it. And God's just trying to get us to the place to where we could be at ease and at rest, knowing, and I say this not as a cliche, but I just need you to know today, God's got you. Peter, who wasn't supposed to walk on water, is going down, and Jesus could have been, quit embarrassing yourself, son, get up from there. What did he do? He reached out and lifted him out of the water. God had him the whole entire time. And what I'm telling you today is God's got you. God's got you. But what's so hard is you still got you. And you're holding on. And God's saying, let go of you so you can get me. He found a way to live beyond me, is what I'm saying. This is what Paul's doing. And the only way to live beyond me, watch this, is to die to me. And that's risky. But if you die to me, you can live for him. Let's go back to the children of Israel. Did you bring us out here to kill us? No. I brought you out here to deliver you from slavery because we're en route to the promised land. You're misreading who I am. You're misreading what's going on because the circumstances are heavy. But the plan hasn't changed. We're still going to the promised land. That's where we're going. But you are so fixed on being you and how you have always been. Same attitude, I'll tell them, all that stuff, that you can't eat, you won't make it into the promised land. And this is what I realized. All that stuff they went through in the wilderness, it wasn't to get beyond the wilderness, it was to get beyond me. That's what it was. God was trying to get them to get beyond themselves. And so God didn't bring them out there to die. He brought them out there so they could be resurrected. That's what the whole thing was. And what is God trying to do in your life right now? You're like, Pastor White, I wish I knew. Tell me. Glad you're here today. Because I believe what God's trying to do in you right now is resurrection. I know this would have been such a good Easter sermon. But it's today's sermon. Here's why. He wants you to live past your past. He wants you to live beyond your past. He wants you to live beyond your pain. He wants you to live beyond your fear. He wants you to live beyond the struggles, beyond the stress. But in order to get beyond that, you got to get beyond you. Because you can be out of Egypt and still be enslaved. You can still be held captive. You can still be a hostage even though the prison door is wide open. And it ain't other people. It ain't the boss. It ain't the work situation. It isn't the family. It's me. And we've been saying it. It's beyond me. What's going on with your marriage? I don't know. It's beyond me. And you're right. What's going on at work? I don't even know. It is so far beyond me. And you're right. And that's what God's been trying to get us to see all along. It's beyond you. And so the question comes to this. Can you trust his strength? Can you trust his strength? And, yeah. Can you? Can you really trust his strength? And if so, it may mean you have to walk weak. It may sound more like this. This may be your story. It may not look like you crossed the finish line running because you were so strong and in shape. It may look more like he dragged me across the finish line, but I finished. It may look like that was so hard, but you got it done. Greater is he that is in me. You know that whole I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? That ain't just psychedelic stuff to get you fired up about your strength. That is God. I need yours because it ain't working. It's beyond me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus, it's beyond us. It's beyond us. And today we can say, we need you. We got the reality check. We understand we got to rely on you. The hard part is the resurrection. even though you are the resurrection and you can cause things to come to life, and you love to do that. The hard part is this: we don't like to die. We don't like to die to our attitudes. We don't like to die to ourselves. We don't like to die to our comforts. We just want you to come and make our life better. But Lord, today I see it. I understand that your strength is only perfect in our weakness. And so, Lord, today we lay me down so we can be risen in you. If you're in that place today where you've been saying it's beyond me, right there, I want you to stand to your feet. It's beyond me. You've been saying it. You've been living it. It's overwhelming. It's a lot. It's hard. It's beyond me. The situation at work, it's beyond me. The situation at home, it's beyond me. Some of the stuff that you're fighting internally, the temptations, the struggles, the feelings that just are so strong, and you're trying your best to overcome them in your strength, and you're saying, it's beyond me. Today, anyone else today would stand and say, it's beyond me. It's beyond me. This is a lot. This is harder than I thought. It's beyond me. It's beyond me. Lift your hands to the Lord today. Just like Peter, where he needed Jesus to rescue him because it was beyond him. Lord, today, we're reaching out to you, not because we're strong, not because we're trying to show you how good we are. We're standing here today with our hands raised because we need you. We really need you. We need your strength because we are weak. We are overwhelmed. We are worried. We are stressed out. We are scared it's not going to work. We're afraid of the consequences of all of that and how it's going to look if it doesn't. And so, Lord, today we're reaching out to you because it is truly beyond me. But we know that it's not beyond your reach. And so today we're reaching out to you. And I thank you, God, that you're reaching out to us. Every person in this room with their hands raised, Father, thank you that you're reaching out to them today. Thank you, Lord, that you're lifting them from the weakness to the strength that they find in you. Thank you, Lord, for resurrection, that even though there are things that are happening and it makes it feel like this part of me is dying and that part of me is dying, I thank you today, Lord, that there is resurrection power because you are the resurrection in the life. And I thank you, Lord, that there is a life that we will now live. Because we are crucified with you, we can be raised with you. And the life we now live is a new faith in the Son of God. Not just a faith to make me strong, but a faith that makes me change. A faith that makes me all that I am in you, oh God. So Lord, today, give assurance. Give assurance. Let them know, I got you. I got you. I got you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're so glad that you joined us for this message. If you would like to give to help us continue to reach more people, you could go to our website, merchchurch.com, and click on give. We hope to see you at church this Sunday.